Alleluia. Thank you. This we thank God for everybody on the line. Father, we are always very grateful for giving us the breath to see this day and for the grace of God to wait upon you. Father, we thank you for the hunger you put in our hearts to seek after you. Thank you for the grace, oh God, to maintain this watch, this 24 watch by your daughters, oh God. Father, we thank you for all the ministries that are represented on this line. Our eyes are upon you. Father, continue to teach us by your Spirit. Continue to establish us by your word. Just continue, because you say your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Continue, Lord, to open our eyes of understanding, and we might truly come to walk in the full knowledge of our divine inheritance, and we might fulfill your desires for us while we live in this flesh. Receive all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness. I know we are really blessed to see what God did in New York. The support of all of you on this line, the ESLPN and all the families of willing women that showed up. God truly answered your prayers. We thank God for the vessels that God used to see such a breakthrough that we had in New York. And again, we really thank God for the way the willing women have been so just passionate about being obedient to the will of God pertaining to this calling. And they truly loved on us and really made this whole process wonderful. So I just want to thank all of you on this line that was at the launching in ESLPN chapter in New York, and all of you that have been praying. Thank you so much. God is building a force. God is raising an army in these last days. And I know that God has a plan to fulfill his will for this nation. So thank you so much. We are so grateful, and we'll continue to pray. Amen. Please continue to pray beginning from sometimes in May, in June and July and into August. A lot of the denominations we work with and the ministries we work with at ASLPN in relationship with are having their conventions. So please remember them in prayer, that God will meet them, and let's add that in our prayer, you know, on Thursdays, to pray for these various conventions, the Willing Women, the Deeper Life, the Redeem, all these various ministries. And we will be having opportunity to go invite many of them to the solemn assembly. So please, as you pray, remember this in prayer. Thank you. Yes, I think the Lord has given us kind of a theme for this year, as we are waiting upon the Lord in these three different prayer points that Moses gave to us in his longing for more of God in Exodus 33. One was, he says, God, show me your way that I might know your ways. And then the other was, he was crying for God to, he cannot move without God, truly being led by the Spirit. And the other was to really experience the glory of the Lord. So we are continuing, and God is teaching us this. The Lord is leading us in it. Something that many times is ignored in the ways of the Lord, in the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But this area is one of the most powerful secrets of really working successfully in this destiny God has called us. This is something that we overlook a lot because it's just natural, but it's something that when you really begin to intentionally apply the wisdom God has given in this, what we're about to look at tonight, it will totally, radically change a lot. It will transform a lot in everything around you. So to begin the process, I want to read a scripture just to establish the direction of the ways of the Lord I'm about to share. I will read Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, to everything, there is a season and a time to every, not some, every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck that which is planted. You know, and it goes on and talks about time, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time to war and a time of peace. You know, you just keep defining that for everything there is a season, and to every purpose under heaven is governed by time. So what we want to talk about tonight is the wisdom of God in the area of the ways of God relating to time. Time is governed by season, but the whole universe is governed by time. God has finished this work from the foundations of the earth. God has set the time of the beginning. God has set the time of the end. And so, in this principle that Solomon was casting here, he says the times are set by seasons. And so, if you look at a farmer understands the use of time every year. He knows the time to sow. He knows the time of harvest because it's governed by the seasons. If you don't plant at the right time, you will miss your harvest. You know, if you look at the jobs that we do today, some jobs you just come in, you clock in. From the moment you clock in, they are registering money for you. From the time you clock out, it's money. So time, again, determines, you know, paychecks and stuff like that. If you go to the hospital, as nice as they are to you, from the time you check into the hospital, they put you in a room or anywhere, sweet and nice and wonderful treat you, but by the time you see the bill, it's all determined by the time you spend there. You know, everything, you go into a lawyer's office or a doctor's office or wherever you go, there are certain places, as soon as you sign in, the money starts counting and time. So, people who have discovered the secret of using time wisely, they have turned time into resources. They've turned time into the most treasure, the most important treasure they have. But to many, time is just used anyhow because it's not something we think that is required. The Bible says that we are going to be a lot of things are going to be weighed by our time and the words and the things we did, our works. So let's continue to read a few scriptures as we look into this currency of time, you know the use of time. Let's look at Psalms 90. To read Psalms 90. We're looking at tonight in terms of is an area that I'm asking the Lord to really take me, to help me, and to really show me how to go deeper in using this wisely. Psalms 90. I'll read from verse 9. Psalms 90 from verse 9. Says, for this is David, he says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. It's like verse 10, the days of our years or our lives are 70, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, meaning here is talking about when we still have enough strength to do something. You know, we can live 100 years, 120, but when we still have enough strength to make something happen. The days of our years or lives, 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, strength, labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Verse 11, who knoweth the power of thy anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Verse 12, and here's where David was praying. He says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now I'll read Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'll read from verse 15 to 17. And we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectively, walk carefully. It says, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That word there, redeeming the time, is to rescue. To rescue time. And another word for that, redeeming time there, is to ransom time. To buy up time. To improve the quality of opportunity you have. To improve opportunity based on, you know, time that you have. Is to acquire time, to buy up time, you know. So it's redeeming time, for the days are evil. That's Ephesians. So basically what the Lord was showing here, Paul was talking about, and David was praying, and Solomon was talking about time, is none of us has a revelation how long we'll live. And that's one area that God sometimes hides from men. Sometimes he will give people an idea, you know, sometimes when death is before them, you know, their time to depart has come, but, you know, in their old age. But most of the time, none of us have a revelation how long we have. We don't determine when we are born, and we don't determine when we exist, when we leave this world. But Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah, God makes it very clear that God has every one of us that has been born, that God has called us, especially as believers, God has called us to fulfill a purpose. God has called us to fulfill assignments. He said, while we were in our mother's womb, these things were determined, and God has established them. And then in Isaiah 64 verse 4, it says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the things that God has prepared for those who wait upon him. For those who wait upon him. You know. And then in 1 Corinthians it says, but these things are revealed to us by the Spirit. Now, why am I saying all this? Is we are going to give, the Bible makes it clear that when we stand before God, we are going to give our account of what we did with our time on the earth. Again, David said in the Psalms that our days are like a vapor. You wake up, it's gone. It's like, compared to eternity, our days on earth is like a vapor. And so, We all have been given time. We don't know how long, but the time that God gives us from the throne of God before we're born, or even when we're born again, that time that God gives us is sufficient to fulfill an assignment. And when we fulfill our assignment, then we can leave. So there are people in the Bible that finished the assignment, and they made it clear. They says, "I finished my assignment. I finished the course. I've run the race." So we don't know what these assignments are, and we don't even sometimes have an idea completely the timing for us to finish this thing. But we will stand before God to give an account for whether we did this assignment and whether we finished, and what we did with our time, this very short time in the earth, to serve the purpose of God. Now, so here, Paul, because he had had an experience in such a loss of time in religion, and God is now revealing things to him, because he started spending time praying, seeking the Lord, God started opening his eyes, and he started understanding the mysteries that were hidden from ages. And here he made a very amazing statement. He says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. What does he mean? The most powerful thing the enemy has against unsuspecting mankind, especially we believers, is the distraction of our time. The distraction of our time. And one of the areas that he wants to distract us mostly from is the area that will keep us from knowing what our purpose is, and knowing what our assignment in this world is, and then living out that assignment to fulfill what the will of God is. Basically, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he says, "For whom God foreknew, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son." He says, "For whom he also predestined, them he also called according to his purpose." That's where you see the scripture where it says, "All things work together for those who love the Lord, for those that are called according to his purpose." That purpose means the plan that is on God's heart for you as a person. And then once you start understanding what the plan of God is for you as a person, then that plan links, you begin to enter into the corporate plan God has for you. But until you start understanding the individual plan, you cannot understand the corporate plan. It's like a tree. You can't understand the branch that you're flowing through. So the devil's distraction is to use so many things in this world, so many things to distract us from really a key I want to share with you on really redeeming time. And in terms of really downloading the heart of God for your life, the things that the human eyes cannot see, the human ears cannot hear, and it's not even entered the hearts of man, the things God has prepared for you, meaning the things he is destined for you to fulfill. You know, for example, you know, God had to show Joseph at a young age, you know, through whatever relationship. He just gave an idea. He said, "You know, Joseph, down the road, this is kind of your path you're going to walk in life." So Joseph was able to understand it. David, at a young age, they poured oil on him. Said, "You know what? Sometime down the road, you're going to be a king." You know, so God gave some people clues to what their destiny will look like. Every one of us, the moment you're born again, you've been baptized into the royal priesthood of Christ. You are now you're born of a royal blood, and you carry a royal assignment while you live in this earth. And the only way you can understand that identity and then understand the assignment relating to that identity is the process I'm about to show with you. And that's the only way you redeem time, because the most powerful weapon the devil has is distraction. You know, this is very funny. Before I read this story, there is a story that, of course, is a worldly story, but it was a story that my dad told us one time that never left me. And as the more I learn some things from the scriptures, this thing comes back to me. It's just a story of they were telling this adage that there was a dog, and a turtle was put on a race. And could you imagine a dog and a turtle running a race? There's no question about it. There's no way. You just make up your mind. That's not even a thing to think about. The dog is a given. The dog will win the race. But the problem is the turtle is claimed as a very wise animal. So the turtle, before the day they run the race, went and put a lot of bones all over the place. All the tracks where they run the race. And when they started running the race, the dog would go from bone to bone, from bone to bone, from bone to bone, eating bone until the turtle finished the race. So the enemy doesn't have ability compared to what God has given to us as heirs of salvation. But if he can distract us from knowing who we are, knowing what we are here for, and our assignment, and then focus on that assignment, not in any way disregarding all the other things that comes with the assignment, but fulfilling the assignment, spirit, soul, and body, with everything, family and all, then when we stand before God, we hear, "Well done, oh good and faithful servant." So, what Paul is saying here is evil days, redeeming the time. Evil days means when Satan knows how to cause chaos in the world. And then he knows, like Pharaoh, he knows how to use tax masters to burden people and put burdens. And then before you know it, you are doing 10 jobs, 5 jobs, all these jobs, and so many other things. And, sometimes families and so many things. You know, there are so many ways he takes things out of balance, out of context. Even all these things are important. And before you know it, you lose focus, even as a believer, that you have a destiny and you have a purpose. So David literally prayed. He says, "God, I don't know how long I'm going to live." Some, if they live too long, 80 years, but it's, 70 years is strong to fulfill your will. So teach me, help me, give me wisdom to manage my time so that I can fulfill your desires. I can do your will. Time is a very essential, expensive commodity to those who have found the secret for it. Amen. Now, here is one of the I want to read one more scriptures. In Romans chapter 12. See, because the whole thing is, the purpose of distraction that the devil wants is, if he can distract us from knowing our identity and knowing the purpose for which we've been called and establishing our assignment, then gradually he takes us out of the will of God, of which is the only thing we're here to fulfill. So in Romans 12, Paul again was writing to the Roman church. He says, verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service," which is your reasonable vocation, your calling, your assignment. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." And perfect will of God. You know, everything is not always the will of God. Everything, no matter how good, we have to discern what is the will of God. So, having said all this, just for time, How do we redeem the time? How do we begin to manage this expensive, amazing resource God has given to us? Like he's a faithful steward of, like a farmer. How can we use our time well? One of the best things is to look at an example in the Bible, somebody that God literally approved and said, this man is a man after my heart. He has truly found the way to my heart and he's going to fulfill my will. And out of this man's root came the lifestyle that Jesus lived to also manifest sonship in his time, to the root of Jesse. So in Psalms 123, David gave us the secret of, you know, one of the secrets of his life in the area of time management, stewardship, in knowing the heart of God. He says here, Psalms 123, unto thee lift I up my eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. David, you know, you all know the Psalms, describes something that is amazing here. He says the way he seeks after God's heart, the way he waits, the way he longs, the way he's determined to please God. One of the ways he's literally determined to find his purpose for life and to fulfill that purpose and to really be a living sacrifice unto God. He says he waits, using this illustration, as a servant gazes into the eyes of his master and a maiden into the eyes of her mistress. Meaning, this mistress or this servant is almost like a bond servant to the man, to his master or to the king. He looks at him. He does not make a move. Except with if the king motions his hands or with his eyes tells him what to do. So he gazes at him. He does not do anything. He just looks at him. And that's his position. That's his focus. He's a living sacrifice. So anything that the king or the master says to do, that's the only thing that servant does. So David is saying, my life is wasted in the presence of God, looking to hear his heart, waiting to know what is on his heart, so that I will fulfill within the time that is given to me. I will not miss fulfilling the desires of his heart while I live on earth. So that was his cry. And then you can see that in Psalms 91. You know, we say he that dwells in the secret place. You can see that David fulfilled that. You can see that in Psalms 27 verse 4. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, these things I will seek after. I will dwell in the presence of God. These people are human beings like us. But the reason God, their stories were written to this degree was that God used them as standard to show us that there are people who were so distracted, but there were others who found the secrets of God's heart. And we can see through the Bible how those who found this secret and how to use their time, where they fulfill things that are on God's heart, and they were able to impact their generations and future generations to come because of what God did through them. So, to redeem time is to know what is on God's heart for you. And if you can spend so many time doing so many things and not find, so we can do a lot of things, it might not be God's will. You know, a lot of good things might not be God's will. But to do what is on God's heart might just be one thing we do, and God says, you have touched me. We don't have to do so many things. It might just be one thing, but that's the thing God wants us to do that day. Or that's one thing, the thing God wants to do that week. The rest, he just wants us to just sit and enjoy his presence. You know, Jesus that we all serve today, our Lord and Master, is a perfect example of one who redeemed time. He came, he knew exactly what he was here to do. He started his ministry at the age of 30 and finished it in the next 3 years he was gone. But because the assignment, everything God had for him was set for that time. He finished it. He was gone. So he, again, like David said in John chapter 5, he says, the Son can do nothing, S-O-N, except what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever the Father doeth, that doeth the Son likewise. And then if you read especially the book of John, you see in many, many places, I have not come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me, and to finish it. I only do that which pleases him. You will see him saying this in different scriptures. I have come to just do the will of the Father, not my will, but his will. He's always waiting upon the Lord. So it's here David gave us the secret of finding God's heart and expressing it and waiting upon the Lord. Jesus actually said in the book of Matthew, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And basically that meek and humble simply means the same scripture that is used in Isaiah 66. It says, God is looking for a people that are humble and meek. And that humble and meek, if you study the whole scripture, anyways, the humble and meek is basically the ability to wait on the will of God. The sacrifice, the dying of the flesh to what I want to do, the things that seems good, the things I want to run after, all these things I want to do. All those things pleases us, promotes us, and causes people to pat us on the back. But to present yourself as a living sacrifice, if you really want to see your flesh die, pride die, is the ability to wait in God's presence. And in that waiting, God begins to give you understanding of destiny, understanding of your calling, understanding of your assignment. And God will begin to lead you and guide you through each process, so that it's no more by might, not by your power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's the training that we all are crying for. That is the longing we are crying for. Because God can do more when we wait on him than we can do in 100 years in our strength. Amen? So, because of this heart that David had as a young man who discovered this secret of time redemption in the presence of God, was the reason why God rejected a king, Saul. Why? Because Saul, when he was empowered and given the office of a king and anointed, he was just using it to do what he wants. Some of them, it looks good in his eyes. Just whatever he wants to do, that's what he will do. And then when whatever God asks him to do or speaks to him to do, he will not do it with all his heart. You know, but he always does what he wants. So, my brothers and sisters, we will not understand how to really love family perfectly without understanding that from the presence of the Lord. It's not the amount of time we spend on things, it's the quality of time we use on things. You know, it's the quality, it's the commitment, it's the faithfulness of what we do with our time that means a lot to God. And means a lot to people. It's the quality, it's not the quantity. So for us, and this time I'm talking about waiting on God, we're not talking about spending 24 hours in God's presence, but just making room daily, you alone in the presence of God. Even if it's just an hour, even if it's just 30 minutes, alone in God's presence a day. Even if it's 25 minutes, but you're consistent with it. You are consistent. That's the place God can meet you. The place God can speak quietly. God can quiet your soul. God can begin to download things to you or begins to help you overcome the stress and the things that are bothering you. No human being can get to. That's quality time, but it's sustained. Even if, just give God 10 minutes, but make it a regular thing. So, ask yourself, I've asked myself that question, it's unbelievable. The moment God begins to use us, like Saul, like before we know it, we begin to gradually lose the personal, private time we spend with God. And we begin to invest more time on what we are doing for God, or what God is doing through us. And gradually we start losing that personal time. The moment you lose that personal time, you know, the church of Ephesus, this is Ephesus that Paul wrote to, in the book of Revelations. Do you know, when Jesus looked at that church, you know what he said? He says, I know you. You know, this great work you're doing, apostolic work, you proved everybody. He commended the wonderful work of ministry. But he says, you've lost your first love. You've left your first love. Meaning, the time we spend together alone is no more there. Because you're doing all this stuff for me. So, because God values this time, because this is the time God can give you wisdom, give you insight on all the things you're doing, whether it's ministry, family, whatever it is, that's the time God speaks. That's the time God refreshes you. So, David always cries for that time. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, the devil did everything to pull him away from the secret of his life. To the point that the devil made a law, because of one man, to stop people from having personal time with the Lord. But Daniel could not separate himself from the presence of God 3 times a day. Now, one of the, when I begin to notice myself losing that quality time with God, I just have to shut down. I have to find some time and shut down, because if I don't do it, people are calling you, you're going here. Ministry would drive you until you begin to get desensitized from that personal time. And then you begin to feel that what you're doing is more important than that time with, because they are very good. But for God, the most important thing is you and your time with Him. Because that's the only way God can zero in on you, refresh you, empower you, and lead you through the still waters into other areas of assignment. Or else you start losing the grace, you know. So that's why David cried that. That's why we need to be sensitive to those times. Is the devil can use so many things to pull us away, no matter how good. So that's why Moses was crying, God, I really need to know you. I need your way so I might know you. You know, looking at this. So finally, just to summarize this about the will of God, because this is about presenting ourselves to God so that we might, whatever we're doing, we know this is the will of God. Many times, sometimes, because of, giftings and whatever, God will open so many doors for us. And sometimes I'll find myself walking through, before I realize it. So now what I'm learning, I'm saying, God, help me. Which of these do you want me to go or do or that? And then when God finds out I'm serious, then finally he'll say, okay, he will lead me to the one I need to go. And that way, I am not just beating, just running through everything, you know, because I have to be led by the Spirit. And it's not easy outside of that personal time in the presence of God. If you're having something with your husband, or you're having something with your wife, or with your children, I promise you, you know those personal time you spend, that is where you get some of the most powerful wisdom and powerful encouragement from the presence of God. As a pastor, I hear things, people say things, some of them are as poisonous as a rattlesnake. Some of them are as good. All these things will come to you. You cannot run away from it because you're dealing with human beings. all these things, you, when you are in the presence of God, God washes them away from your soul. God cleanses and God turns around and gives you loving, encouraging, peaceful words for you to go out and minister and do what you're doing. So the presence of God is one of the best ways to redeem our soul, to restore our soul in a place of quietness and allow us to wisely use our time rather than being dragged by the, you know, by culture, by the system, by everything, and we begin to lose the voice of the Lord. Now, when I said finally, you know, one of the ways the Lord always reminds me about his heart, about waiting on the Lord, so that I the things that God has prepared for me, you know, and that's, I'm still praying, you know, I'm not there, and that's why I'm sharing it, so that we all can desire this and press it, especially in these evil days. Especially in these evil days, there's too much distraction. There's a lot of distraction. The example the Lord gave to me about, you know, really knowing the seriousness of the will of God, and that he only comes to the place of waiting, is a waiter. You know, most of us go to restaurants. You know, we go to a restaurant. If you go into a restaurant, you know, they welcome you, they sit you on the table, they give you a menu. You have this menu in front of you. There is this person we all are familiar with called the waiter or the waitress. They come to you very nice and they wait on you. They don't come to you and say, you're going to drink Coke right now. You're going to drink this or you're going to drink that. And then after they'll come back and say, here's the food that we cooked and this is the food you're going to eat. No, they come to you, they say, what can I get for you to drink, sir? What do you like to drink today? And you take your time and think and say, oh, I want water, or I want, and they will go and get what is on your heart and they will give it to you. And then they will come back and say, are you ready to order now? And then you look through the menu. If you're not ready, they wait. They say, okay, I'll wait, sir. They wait. So a waiter will never do his will and say they are serving you. They are there to do your will. They are there to honor your heart. And then you come again, you say, you look through the whole menu and you say, okay, this is what I'm going to eat. And then you share it with them. They leave and they'll go fix exactly. They won't add, they'll fix exactly what you want. That thing you wanted for lunch or that thing you wanted for dinner. What has this waiter done? David said, as the eyes of a servant looks to the eyes of his master, waits on it. And a mystery waits on it. So my eyes wait upon the Lord. That's the language of Jesus. He says he spent all these years learning and growing, making himself a living sacrifice in the presence of God, to come to the place where he can finally say in John chapter 5, I can only do only that which I see my Father do. I can only speak that which I hear. You know, there's a difference even in preaching. There's a difference between you going to go speak somewhere or going to go teach somewhere to teach and speak the things that you've been learning, or you wait and you hear from God. Among all the things you've been learning, God, what does these people need today? And then God will show you. But you have to wait. If you don't wait, you will end up always doing what you have on your plate. But if you wait, God will give you specifically what the people need. So waiting redeems time. And waiting always fulfills the will of God. And the will of God is what we're here to fulfill, not our will. So, and it's in the place of prayer. Quality prayer. Whether it's 2 hours, 1 hour, but sustained lifestyle of personal prayer, corporate prayer, and then obedience out of that. So, and that way we find rest and we find fulfillment in what God is giving us to do, especially as we see the evil days approaching. the distractions are getting more. So I just pray that God will encourage you by these words. And again, if you are in any way losing your personal time alone with God, there's nothing more important than that. Because that's where your strength, that's where your refreshing comes from. And then corporate times of prayer. Amen. And then out of this will come all the edification that God will use personally to you, to your family, to your job areas, to your ministry partners, and just to any area God sends you. You'll be refreshed to be able to refresh others. Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing on this prayer line. Thank you for what you're doing in our life. You've called us. Our first calling is to spend time with you. And then you take it. The cycle increases from there. So, Father, I just thank you for the secret of redeeming time by receiving and waiting upon you. That whatever we do out of obeying you, help us to fulfill and to maximize the impact of what you've called us to do. Father, I pray that everyone on this line, oh God, you just continue to pull every one of us, and that's why I'm crying to you, more into your presence, more into your presence, that we, oh God, can be led by your Spirit in all that we do and hear your voice clearly. Thank you so much for leading us deeper into your presence, especially in these last days, breaking the distractions, in Jesus' name.